Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany, where naturally minded women gather together as we pursue simplicity and confidence in health alternatives so we can show up better in our busy lives and feel more at home in our bodies. Join your favorite home birth midwife duo for conversation, candor, and community.
You are at home with Kelly and Tiffany. We are back.
Woo!
Baby.
And it feels good.
It does. I am Kelly.
I'm Tiffany.
And I took over welcoming us to the podcast today.
During our break, we had a lot of things happening and reorganizing. And one of those was just my general humility improved. I decided I'm going to share some of the announcing responsibility with Kelly.
I appreciate that very much. As you can tell by the title of our podcast episode today, we are going to be chatting about planning a better next birth. So if you're listening to this, you've probably already given birth, maybe feeling a lot of feelings about doing it again, maybe some disappointment, trauma, frustration, annoyance, lack of general satisfaction or something. So we're going to walk through some kind of philosophies, some tips to consider as you look ahead, give you some hope for next time.
Yeah, or even like if you have never given birth before and you're listening to this, what a great way to be ahead of the game to hear about what some women's experiences are with things that they would improve on in previous births. Potentially, you can learn from that.
100%. So many times the moms who come into our practice are women who either, one, have already had a previous experience that was traumatizing or disappointing or something like that in their first birth, and looking to do something different, or somebody who is a first-time mom who is like, I've heard those stories and I want to start out on a better foot, give myself the best chance for at least the most satisfaction in my experience.
Yeah, and I love the intentionality around that. And one of my favorite things, and I know I've shared that here before, but I love it when women plan for the birth that is coming up, even before they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I love, especially when women who have never been pregnant before start to think and plan for what they want that birth experience to be like, because it pays in dividends, that amount of planning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even if things don't, I mean, you can't plan what the actual, or you don't know what the actual outcome is, how things are going to play out. But infinitely more women are satisfied with their experience, even when it looks different than what they anticipated when they were in charge of these types of decisions beforehand.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm excited to get into it. But we talked about having like so many things that we have been working on besides my humility.
I'm now the most humble person that I know.
I mean, the most humble person in this room, for sure. But the break was good. The podcast break was good. We utilized that in some really awesome ways. Tell our listeners what some of those things have been.
Yeah. So, I mean, personally, it's been a super sweet time getting to like really dig into some of the other aspects of my whole entire life, right, that don't involve work and all of that good stuff. One of the things that I am like on the tail end of doing is something that I thought about when we first moved into our house, or we first looked at it, was I am doing a DIY renovation of our guest bathroom. And our guest bathroom is like our kid's bathroom. It's the main bathroom of the house. We have a tiny one in our master, but it's been so much fun. I learn new things. I'm like failing at some things. And working with my hands, which makes me feel so good. That's one of the things that I've really discovered. I'm like, oh, baking stuff makes me feel good because of that. Or being outside and watering things and tending to ducks and whatever. It's like just feels good to do something with my hand. So anyway, I'm learning some things about, I say renovation. I wouldn't say makeup on a pig like my dad would say, but it's kind of the landlord special a little bit in some ways. And it's amazing. Love it.
It's just enough, right? It's just enough of an update in there. I mean, you're not just like changing out the towels and the
Right.
The rug. Like, you are definitely stripping things down and...
Yeah, I have, like, sander. I'm doing some things.
You guys, she is sanding.
Yes,
sanding things.
Yep, it's been super fun. And one of the things that actually is happening right now in your house has been highlight of our families, because my girls are actually here enjoying the fruit of it, which is...
Yeah, our dog had puppies.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and it was, like, absolutely insane how quickly that happened between the time that we stopped podcasting.
Yeah.
She got pregnant almost, like, a month later, or maybe about the time that the last podcast aired. And then now she's had puppies for 3 weeks already. Mm. And, I mean, what we've learned about dog pregnancy, dog birth, I mean, their gestation is 63 days.
And, like, the majority of what happens, I mean, I know things are happening at the very beginning, but, like, you don't really even know for a while, and they just grow so quickly at the end there. That's wild.
Yeah, there's no signs of pregnancy in your dog for the first 4 to 5 weeks. Like, you would not even be able to, like, do an ultrasound or a blood test or anything to find out if your dog's actually pregnant. So you only know if your dog actually conceived for, like, 4 weeks, and then you're like, okay.
Half the pregnancy is gone.
Yeah. And it's just, it's absolutely wild. And then, I mean, our dog had 6 puppies. And so she gave birth to, like, 6 completely formed things, animals. And you're just like, how is this even happening? Anyway, it's so fun. We're having such a good time. The parallels between animal birth and human birth and animal postpartum and human. I mean, I'm not comparing women to dogs here. Don't misunderstand that. But the joy in seeing a process undisturbed and supporting it in a way that is just only natural, to be like, yeah, we're not going to do this stuff to our dog. But so if you follow us on Instagram, you got to see a lot of, you know, some of those, the pictures and the process and everything like that. But one of our followers sent me a message after I told, like, the birth story of the dog, which was just so fun. It was like everyone was like, is that, what was that, almost as good as a human birth? And I'm like, oh, it might have been better.
Your license isn't on the line
It was just so exciting. But somebody messaged us and they were like, wow, I think your dog had a better birth than most women in a hospital. And I'm like, she did.
Huh. That actually kind of blows my mind. It's true.
It can be. It's a little bit funny in a way, because you're like, wow, that's really so awful that it's kind of funny, but also startling.
Yes.
Also very startling.
Yeah, absolutely. We're both also at the tail. Maybe not the tail. Not the tail end. No. But, like, we have been talking for months about health things that we wanted to work on, and the new year started, and I was really proud of us because we started the things that we said we were going to start. I just went through a heavy metal detox for the last, like, 6 weeks. And I think that's going to be sort of a low-lying forever thing for me until I get I have a plate and screws and stuff in my body that my body seems to not enjoy having in there. So until I get that out, stuff to work on. But dude, like, I'm wearing my wedding ring right now. I wasn't able to wear it for, like, over a year because I was so, sensitive to different metals on my body, which was, like, a new thing for me. It was, and there was a lot of other things going on, but I'm like, I'm seeing so much in my body that has changed because of it. And I am so thankful that I just went ahead and did it.
And I'm proud of you for just, like, figuring out a way to manage the circumstances that are in your life. I mean, it would be ideal to have that plate removed at some point, but that's a whole nother surgery. Mm-hmm. I don't think your insurance is going to cover it. I mean, it's like your bathroom renovation. It's like,
I'm doing what I need to do to, you know,
move forward. Yes. I can't gut this whole thing and start from scratch. Yep. So what can I do to support this being a good place to be?
Yes. Yes, please.
How can I feel at home in my body? How can I feel more comfortable in this bathroom? How can I enjoy this part of my life to the fullest?
This is really affirming for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I just see all the parallels, Kelly.
Mm-hmm, great.
Dog birth, yeah. Human birth, bathroom, heavy metal detox.
Great.
It is so good. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're on the tail end of your process. Not all of us get to be on the tail end. I've purposely not set a end date for basically just doing AIP, autoimmune protocol, because I had a persistent rash on my face that was coming and going for months over the fall. And when I finally did some research on it, found out what it was, got some help from a dermatologist friend, I realized something's really, really wrong with me. I have to try to get to the bottom of it. And so this is the first step, is just helping my gut reset, taking allergens out of my diet. And I feel great and fantastic, but it's gonna, in my mind, I was thinking, just do it for a month. Just get a little reset out there, you know, like a little, like an intense Whole 30 in January. Come on. It's the greatest way to start the year.
Yep. Easy.
And now we're halfway through February when we're recording this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not done. I maybe have just only begun what needs to be done. And now that I'm all the way in the way that I am, I'm not going to be like, well, I tried that and it didn't work. I'm like, nope, I actually just need more time.
Yeah, for sure.
With this. So that's just what it is. And I was just telling my husband last night, I'm like, if this is the year that I have to get to the bottom of all of those pieces and actually like really heal and balance, and it's going to be kind of severe, but I get to live the rest of my life from that foundation, I'm going to do it.
You're already a 12th of the way through.
If it's going to take the whole year. Thank you, Kelly. Yeah. I'm more than a 12th.
Yeah. Almost a 6th.
But I'm learning a lot of things about willpower and setting yourself up for like success in something that can be like particularly challenging. I'm learning a lot about like just my own ability to like make a good choice. I've been in, I would say, all the previous seasons, almost every single season of my life, starting when I maybe like had kids. So for the last 10 years, I would have found it very difficult to put something like this into my life and do it well. And so I'm really thankful that I'm in a space where I can take this on mentally and emotionally and physically, because I think it's been a long time coming. And I think that pregnancy and raising kids and going to midwifery school and, you know, being a midwife, I think that although many of those things have added joy to my life, probably, I'm sure,
somewhere,
also contributed to some ill health. So it just is it's a good time. Good time for me to be alive.
Just crawling my way through. No, that's great. I love it. So that's like general, I mean, like a very large overhead view of some stuff going on in our lives. So hopefully if you guys are going through anything similar, AIP stuff, like needing detox, whatever, let us know, because we just want to like, you know, encourage and commiserate, right? Okay, so planning a better next birth. Before we jump into that, we wanted to do a quick shout out. This is not like a sponsor or anything, but lovely family and friends of ours started this incredible supplement company called We Heart Nutrition. So if you're listening to this episode, right, you're probably like interested in pregnancy, hope to be pregnant again, are pregnant now, somewhere in the childbearing years, right? And so this is like a perfect time to start nourishing your body well, supplement your body well. So again, this is a company that was created and is run by a family that we know, that we love. So much care has gone into them, like creating their supplements, in their packaging as well. Like it is an entire vibe to unbox their stuff. You can leave the supplements on your counter because they're like super cute, right? They go into your super cute aesthetic vibe there. But we're stoked to offer you guys 20% off of their product. So they have stuff for nausea, iron support, multis, omegas. So if you go to weheartnutrition.com/beautiful1midwifery, you can use code beautiful1 for 20% off. You can bundle and save and still use the code. So that's off your first purchase.
Yeah, it is. And we actually, it was really exciting for us because we were asked to be on their expert panel as they were formulating these things. And so they asked us about the best forms of magnesium, the best forms of vitamin D, the cofactors, the bioavailability, like what needs to be included in a supplement to make it high quality and actually something that your body can use. And so there's definitely a piece of it that feels very much like our little baby too, where we're mm-hmm. like, you created what we would have created if we started a supplement company, and now we just get to share that. So super exciting.
Yes. So enjoy that. WeHeartNutrition.com/beautifulonemidwifery, code beautifulone, 20% off your first purchase. Okay. So now 16 minutes into the episode, we can talk about what we were going to talk about, which is planning a better, right, second, third, or whatever birth. And this matters so much. We kind of touched on it at the beginning, but research actually shows up to 45% of women. And I'm like, who are you asking? Because I would wonder if it's actually potentially even higher than that. Report feeling like their birth experience was traumatic, which is like pretty wild. So in like, that's in one way or another, right? That's all subjective of what trauma is to each person. But most people are like, oh, yeah, because you just kind of expect birth to be traumatic in our society, right? Like, I feel like the idea of birth, the policies of birth, the philosophy of birth has been like hijacked, and we're all just being gaslit over and over and over again about it.
Yeah, I mean, quick little preview. I wrote the copy for another episode that is coming up after this. And we're going to pick apart the midwifery model versus the medical model. And when you look at those two side by side, you're like, these are not the same thing.
No.
No wonder women have trauma when going into a facility that believes that they are just on the verge of preventing an explosion constantly. And you're a woman who is in this 90% category who is low risk and probably isn't going to explode. And if you're treated like you're going to explode and you are not ever actually going to explode, then imagine, I'm sorry, I got to go with this metaphor now.
Yep, go.
Imagine calling in the bomb squad for something that is not a bomb. How are they going to approach that situation? And then they get to whatever it is, the package that they think was a bomb, and they open it up. And it's a bouquet of flowers that are not dynamite. It doesn't explode. It's just a beautiful, wonderful thing. But how they approach that box, thinking it was a bomb.
They're being like, every single risk, this thing is about to absolutely obliterate and like become a huge,
yes,
you know, problem.
We need everyone to stand back. We need to put all of our suits on. I need a shield in front of me. We are on the walkie-talkies communicating with each other. We're sending in a dog first to sniff it out to see if it smells like a bomb so that if it goes off, we lost the dog instead of a human. I mean, truly, there's so many parallels. My brain just wants to make so many connections today with things.
In particular, dogs.
Things like other things. But truly, that is so that's why women are walking out of their births feeling traumatized, feeling disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly you can choose the midwifery model and still feel some disappointment, still feel right. Like there's space for all of that for sure. And like, I feel like a lot of women are left because so many women experience trauma, we're expecting it or disappointment or whatever. And then they're sort of left with like, is there something more to birth? Is there something more? Like, does this actually matter? Like, is this just how it's going to be, right? Or is there something more? And then maybe they start to hear things from other women, right? Or we'll post things on social media and women are like, I don't comprehend that because I have no grid for what you are talking about in terms of feeling satisfaction in birth or feeling empowered or informed even. And so you probably listening to this are somebody who actually cares about those things, who wants to feel empowered, who wants to feel the intensity of the incredible transformation that birth offers. So we're going to chat about that. We're going to chat about taking a previous birth experience, even if you have never given birth before, but especially for those of you who have, processing what you've experienced and moving forward in empowerment and encouragement. So we have a little bit of like a quick guide for you, some steps that you can take to kind of facilitate that journey.
Oh, yeah. Like take notes if you want.
Yeah.
If you're not driving.
Yeah. Don't take notes and drive.
No. Maybe you need to pull over and take some notes, because I see what Kelly has laid out here, and there's definitely some bullet points that you're going to want to be like,
step one,
leave a 5-star review for the podcast.
Leave a review. We'll read it.
Okay. What's the real step one?
Yes. Processing your first birth, right? So taking the experience that you have had and actually pulling back and looking at it from like the higher level, right? Writing down your birth story. We have a whole episode about this, but we have a prompt that we'll include in the episode description.
Show notes. Well, we've been out of podcasting for a couple months.
In the show notes, it'll be there. But you can actually take what you remember, what you felt, what you experienced, the timeline of things, or even if that's hazy for you, writing it down, getting it out there, right? Talking to somebody about it, especially people who actually care about birth, or would understand that, or specific support people, even like your doula or something, if you had one the first time.
And it's really tempting to skip this step. I will just say, as somebody who has had, I wouldn't say my birth was traumatic, but it was disappointing, and it was disappointing for a long time. And it is really tempting to not talk about it, to not bring it up again, because it feels so unresolved in some ways. So the person that you talk to about your birth can really matter. If you don't have someone that you know is going to be a good listener and help with like some really reflective listening, then just write it down for yourself, because having the timeline laid out in front of you, getting to say and be honest about what parts of it were difficult or hard or regretful, all of that is a part of moving forward. If you skip this step, you are potentially bringing your baggage into your next birth.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we never want to skip this part, because, right, like you have an opportunity here. Not only just to get it out there, but then the processing part of it, you can practice, right? Like forgiving yourself from some of the things. I know that a lot of women have shared with us, like feeling regret over decisions that they made, or, we do the best with what we have in front of us, right? With the information we have, with the situation we're in. And so this is an opportunity also to look at, you know, the situation and, forgive some of those things of yourself, if that is something that you're struggling with, reframing some of the pieces of hurt as well, to kind of prove to yourself or show yourself or remind yourself of what you did well in that situation, right? Like you made the best decision that you could, or you moved forward with that person with the idea that fill in the blank, right? And so it's big.
Yeah. And also I will say another important part of this step, it's a kindness and a grace to yourself to do that, but it's a kindness and a grace to the other people around you, because I cannot tell you how often I am a part of a conversation or a comment thread or a situation somewhere where it is so clear that this mom has unresolved birth trauma in the way that she shares and almost re-traumatizes herself every single time she has to continue to try to process what happened. And she potentially doesn't recognize it, but it is such a glaring neon sign when somebody is walking around in a very deep, hurt, unresolved, traumatic space, no matter what it is. But when it's birth, anytime somebody talks about birth, you will be triggered to vomit your trauma onto them, and nobody wants that. You don't want that. no, you don't want to be a part of that cycle. I don't want to be a part of that cycle. So dealing with this first step is a part of just being a better friend, being a better woman in community when the topic of birth comes up.
That's so true, because I think about how oftentimes, like, someone's like, I'm pregnant, or like, I'm hoping for a natural birth or something, right? And the response is that person's disappointing or traumatic story. And we always are like, let's listen to like positive, you know, whatever. But I think so much of that is, where else do I process, right? Like, I'm stuck in this loop and I can't get this out because everybody says birth is supposed to be traumatizing. So I guess I'm just, what's the point of even processing this? Because everybody's in it with me, right? Everybody's just needs to be traumatized by this. So getting out of that, ideal for sure.
I'm making a note because that would be a great future episode to kind of like unpack a little bit.
I like it. Yeah. Actually make the note right now, pencil and everything. And then, so you've written it down, you've spoken about it, you've kind of processed pieces of it. And then pulling out from that, sorting out what actually made that first birth traumatic or disappointing or whatever feeling it is that you're struggling with. Was it the provider, right? Was it something that they said? Was it the location that you birthed in, right? Was that just were their policies or whatever problematic for you? Was it a support person that was there with you, your partner, your doula, or not there with you, right? Were you surprised by the amount of pain? Like, was it just really, really hard? Do you feel like, I don't know, was it traumatic that like you maybe you didn't take a class or didn't really have many tools and you just went into it being like, I can do this, and you just felt blindsided by the experience? So was who you chose to like birth with or where you chose to birth, I think like the big crux of that, like, were those choices opposing to what you actually wanted, right? And I think that's a really helpful question to ask yourself. Was your birth, right, harder? Was it longer? Was it whatever, fill in the blank word, than you expected? And being able to pull out, like, yes, you felt traumatized. Yes, you're disappointed. But what really was it, right? And then you're like, okay, well, it was the provider, right? Or it was the pain. I was so overwhelmed by how painful it was, right? Okay, well, then why? And then why? Continue to ask yourself till you get down to, like, that root of it, right? Where you can actually really process some of those things and support yourself moving forward from.
Yeah. And like, when you process your birth experience, it can be really difficult to untangle responsibility, right? And you guys have heard us share on here before that you actually have a lot of control and power over what happens to you. And sometimes you just need to take responsibility for that. And I mean that in the most loving way possible, because the only way to a better birth is probably going to be after taking some more responsibility. There's plenty of people who have had a very troublesome and challenging birth, and it was not due to anything that they did or planned for or said. So I'm not saying this in order to try to place blame or guilt on anyone, but most women who have had a traumatic birth experience in their past will do really well by just saying, I didn't know. And so it's not my fault that this happened, but now that I know, I'm going to do something different with this information.
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's helpful to remember that what feels that way to you doesn't need to necessarily feel that way to somebody else. So what's traumatic or hard or disappointing or that you need to process, somebody else could have a very similar birth story and feel very satisfied with that. And that can feel confusing, but you have to remember it's your story, it's your experience. And so it's not a competition. It's not a looking around thing. It's just looking inward, I suppose, right?
Oh, yeah. And trust us, we can get confused by that too. Because every once in a while, one of our clients who have like an absolutely amazing birth experience from our perspective will say something like, hated that. It was so terrible. And I hope that never happens to me again. And we're like,
wasn't expecting that. All right.
Valid.
Yeah, 100%.
Very valid. Yet.
Sneaky. Yes, for sure. Okay, so you're processing some things and then you're allowing yourself, right? We're talking about the next birth. Allow yourself to actually dream, right? Like what would your ideal birth actually look like? What would it feel like? All of the senses, right? What's it going to sound like? We actually did an episode also about birth of vision and the idea of kind of setting yourself up in terms of like these types of decisions and these types of how you would like to feel, right? So we actually have, well, I'll link a birth vision prompt for you to kind of help you give some vision to that, like give some wording to that. But really, it's not like a, oh, next time, this is what I want my birth plan to be. It's really, this is how I would like to be made to feel, right? This is how I'd like to experience this. So again, we can't control the outcome, but like so many of these choices before getting pregnant or throughout pregnancy impact your experience so much. And so I think pulling back, recognizing what is the real desire of your heart in this? Is it simply that you want to have an unmedicated birth, or like, are you hoping for something deeper? I mean, which is a great goal, right? But like hoping for something deeper, are you hoping for like a truly, are you feeling really truly respected or like more physiological birth rather than just, I escaped all of the, interventions. Yes. And so, a birth, right, that you want, what do you really want from the experience? And how do you want to feel? How do you want the people around you to feel? Are they fully on board with that? That kind of thing. And so I know sometimes people think, well, I don't want to think like idealistically. I want to just like, yeah, that'd be nice, but like, I don't want to get my hopes up too much. But this is a space to really think about if you could write the story about how you experience birth. What would that like ideally look like? Because that'll give you some pieces of how to move forward.
And I think that we undervalue that element of like, we can call it dreaming, but really it's just very deeply connecting to what is possible. And it's not like if you can dream it, it'll happen. Or if you write it all down, you can manifest it or anything like that. It's like, what would make this possible? How could this be possible? And again, there's plenty of situations where women do a wonderful job planning and putting pieces into place that are going to maximize the end result that they're looking for. But most women could exercise more. They could exercise more. They could plan more. They could, I know I said it already, but take some responsibility in some of their choices to make it a better experience. And so I just want to encourage women in that of like, you can do it. You have a lot of control and power over this that was probably taken from you at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's just really powerful in and of itself to recognize that you have more control over, granted, there's a lot that we can't control, right? But you have control over much more, I think, than you even realize you do. And so from that, right, like you're looking at this ideal or what this like, what, yeah, like what your heart's desire is in birth. And then you can move forward with that information and you can research more, you can talk more, you can ask questions more. As you can just help you get closer to what you want, how you want to feel, the outcome you actually desire. So we've seen that two of the biggest pieces that impact your experience with birth is with whom you birth, right? Like who is your provider and where you're birthing. And so as you look into what is my ideal, looking into those two pieces in particular, can have a huge impact on how you experience not just birth, right? Your pregnancy, the entire philosophy around your experience. But then it just gives you encouragement to be like, oh, I have some pieces and this is what I'm after. How can I get there, right? And that, I think, opens up more doors than just how can I avoid interventions I don't want or how can I have a vaginal birth with and not a cesarean, right? These are deeper questions that are more meaningful to how meaningful birth really is.
Yeah, and like there's actual research that comes up about satisfaction in birth, and you know, you hear it coming up with like women who have doulas are more satisfied with their birth. But one of those one of those big people, well, I mean, women who have home births, I think like something like 92% of women who have a home birth are deeply satisfied with their birth versus I think in a hospital birth, it was like 20 something percent of women were deeply satisfied with their hospital birth. Satisfaction is important. It's an important part of how we remember the birth. And it's deeply important to us as women. It makes a huge imprint on our child. And so it feels big because it is, and it's worthy of attention, and it's worthy of planning and coming, you know, to terms with some of these things. But another big part of satisfaction that stretches throughout all the places where you could possibly give birth and whoever your care provider is women who felt like they were in charge. And so you can kind of take that little nugget with you. Sometimes it's really easy to say this particular care provider, this particular setting is exactly what's going to make this all, you know, work out for me or not. but being in charge, feeling like you have all the information and that you made the choice is what gives women the greatest satisfaction with their birth. So you ask women who had something happen to them that was not even close to what their birth plan was, and if they felt like they were in charge, if they felt like they were making the decisions along the way, even if the outcome was not what they wanted, they will still report greater satisfaction than somebody who did not have that piece involved, you know, in their birth.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense, but I don't think that part gets like, you know, talked about enough or like kind of pieced out the way that you just did. So thank you. That's good. That's good. Okay. So that now you've researched, right? And now just focusing on replenishing yourself, right? Replenishing yourself emotionally and spiritually, physiologically and physically as well, right? Like moving your body, nourishing your body well. Focus on the good things of moving forward with a pregnancy, right? Like imagine that you were in a preconception time treating your body that way. So offering things like trace minerals and prenatals with folate, not folic acid, omegas, just really helpful in this postpartum time that you may be in, and preconception time that you may be in as well. So that's like that physical part of, you know, nourishing, eating well, moving your body well, supplementing well. And then just that replenishing yourself, that emotionally, spiritually, right? Working on releasing fear. Surrendering what you can't control, controlling what you can, and whatever that looks like for you, right? Like prayer over moving forward, and what to do about some of these, you know, question marks that you have, journaling about some of these things and actually trusting and listening to yourself in those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So we just see so much that preparing for a better birth really comes from, I mean, a lot of things that we talked about was like a little bit of like self-assessment and introspection. And then moving forward, it's really about access to education, right? And information, and sorting out how to make that like an encouraging experience, an empowering experience to make the decisions that align with, you know, whatever it is that your personal values are, your family values are. And that can completely change, I think, the story of and the narrative that birth has in your family.
Yeah. I mean, once you can pinpoint how you would like to move forward with your next birth and you start to put some of those pieces into place, then suddenly that opens up so many resources and such a place to get inspired and connected and kind of rejuvenated in what that future plan could be.
Yeah, for sure. So we have some links to some of those supportive resources I mentioned in the show notes for you to check out. But there's one link in there that we are for sure the most excited to share right now. At the time that we are recording this, this is sort of the first time that I think we've really said it out loud to anyone, like beyond ourselves and maybe our husbands or something. But we are launching an upcoming childbirth education course.
Yep. I mean, if this episode did not demonstrate our passion for women having better births, I got fired up just recording it. Mm-hmm. And we are so excited to start to put together some really formal education for women who are looking for an alternative way to approach their birth.
Yeah. So if you want a better birth next go around, or this is, again, your first time being pregnant or you're planning to get pregnant, you want more just information, more support, more education, specifically from a midwifery physiological perspective, you can birth anywhere with this information. But to kind of get down to what really is birth, what is my body doing? Not only just the birth itself, right, but throughout pregnancy too. Like, what am I missing here? And so we have heard so many women ask us to provide this kind of education. We're just really excited to announce that we are going to launch it. And it's really in an infancy right now at the time of taping. And so we'll be launching it soon, but we are looking for a group of women who want a childbirth education class that is more, right, than just having maybe even just a nice birth, right? We have prenatal education by trimester, really focused on awareness of education. There's lots of emphasis on informed consent in every trimester, including birth, things to prepare for in each trimester, support on how to prevent certain issues and complications and stuff that go through each trimester and birth. So we're just really stoked on it. If you're listening to this further away from when we actually taped it, it may be live in its fullness, and that link will also take you to this course.
Yes, but if you are wondering if you would be a candidate to jump into this very first, we're calling it beta. It's our beta birth class. We are looking for a group of women who are potentially due in July of 2024 and beyond, or potentially women who are not currently pregnant but want to participate in this childbirth education program that we're going to put together. And so for only $149, you can jump in with us between now and March 17th is when we're going to close the doors to this and roll out an entire childbirth education series over the spring with this group of women who would be willing to, you know, give us feedback on what we're creating. We want it to be extremely comprehensive, and we want to hear from women every step of the creation, how to make it the absolute best possible natural birth course that we can.
Yeah, so we're super stoked and hoping that some of you will want to come along with us in that. We're also excited to share that we're going to start like a new kind of episode too. We're going to share some birth stories from our practice starting next week. So you can look forward to that sort of on the same vein, right? So thanks for chatting with us today, ladies. It's nice to be back.
It sure is.
It was great.
How did we do? 42 minutes. Okay.
Well, you know, we were talking about dogs a lot. Brooms. You know.
Very topical.
It was. Well, we'll catch you next week, ladies.
Bye.